We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Every once in a while, we have to bring out the big dog.
Yeah.
Oh, God help us. It's time for Danny Unleashed. Sponsored by Easton Roofing, where integrity matters. Go to EastonRoofing.com for more.
He's unleashed, Kansas City. Look out!
Betcha.
Duck! Get down! Get down! Danny Unleashed.
Hi, the women and children.
Huh? Hi, the women and children.
It's a terrible phrase, first. I think. No.
Hide them first.
Yeah. Don't you think that phrase maybe kind of goes away now over the last few years?
I don't know. You just used it.
I know. I think I'm rethinking the use of it.
Easton Roofing is proud to bring you Danny, I think.
Is willing to bring you Danny.
With Easton, estimates are always free. No payment collected until you're 100% satisfied. Listen, are you a property owner, a property manager? Easton Roofing has got you covered if there's any kind of work that needs to be done. Easton Roofing offers turnkey solutions for you. Parking plan, schedule, safety plan, warranty expectations, all up front. There's no guessing with Easton Roofing. You'll know exactly what's going on every second of the day. Easton Roofing also offers thermal zone inspection. They can tell you on the spot whether there's water under the roof right now. You're not going to wait weeks like with those other companies to get the answers your business needs right now. Listen, we've had more damaging storms. There's more on the way this weekend. Easton Roofing. If you've got any questions about your roof, call the best. Call Easton Roofing at 913-257-5426, commercial or residential. It's Easton Roofing online at EastonRoofing.com. Danny?
Yes.
Let's interrupt this draft talk for just a moment.
Sure.
Royals are done today.
They are.
They played early in Detroit because the draft is tonight.
They did indeed.
Nobody messes with the draft, Danny.
They do not.
Not even Major League Baseball.
Hey, I will give kudos to three of the people sitting here. I was two of the people in the room. I listened to almost.
Who's out?
He's out. He wasn't here last
Jockey's
night.
Jockey's out?
No. He wasn't here last
night. No. He's young. He's got crap going on in his life.
I listened to the whole GD thing last night, and it was excellent.
I didn't even listen to the whole thing.
Clearly.
I did. I came home from I didn't hear the whole thing, but I got in my car about a few minutes after 7, and from right there till sign-off, I was there in the car, and then I came home, said hello to my wife, said, I'm useless to you tonight, the draft's on, and I fiddled around in the kitchen and cleaned stuff and listened to the whole damn shooting match.
Kit, sir?
The kit and the caboodle?
Both.
That's high praise.
I walked in and said, hi to women and children. I'm listening to the draft.
I do love the draft. I went home.
And I don't really, you know, it's not my jam necessarily.
Right.
But on the night of it, it is. And the mixture of the ESPN coverage and you guys. Now the ESPN coverage is a mixed bag. But
he's unleashed, people.
But
he's honest.
But Reed, he's great. Well, you know, he's not like out of nowhere.
Reed.
Yeah, Jordan Reed. He was excellent.
Yeah.
Mike Tannenbaum, after the performance he puts on in media, will anybody ever come close to that man again as an executive in the National Football League?
It is. I think he
gave up on that maybe now, and he's a little bit better.
When he did he's got a website, the 33rd team or something, where there's a bunch of ex-executives and stuff that write some football stuff. I mean, I'll give him credit for having real opinions. He's not super critical of people, but he will say,
he does
I
now.
Don't like that.
At first, he didn't.
Yeah.
He wouldn't say anything because I think he wanted to get back in.
I actually think he's pretty – what I would like to see him, if I were coaching him, I would say – don't take this crap from these guys. I mean, like, they fire crap at him, not so much last night on the radio, on the broadcast, but, like, he brought up the idea of the Cowboys taking a quarterback on Get Up this week. They're like, okay, what's kind of a bold and I don't know what they dubbed it. But it was like our bold and daring predictions.
Right.
All right, so the idea is don't give me the, you know, oh, the Commanders are going to take a quarterback.
Right.
The idea was give me something that we're not looking for.
Out of the box.
That might happen. And he said the Cowboys take a quarterback. And he's like, look, it's the final year of Dak Prescott's deal, and they don't know that they want to pay him, and they're not really going that far paying him all this money. So look to reset the clock. And everybody's like, oh, what are you talking about? Oh, it's about, oh, my God. Like you mean, which is exactly what the Chiefs did with Alex Smith.
Yep.
It's exactly what the Falcons went ahead and did last night with Kirk Cousins. And he just kind of, you know, I give him credit because I get tired of, When people are not in the studio and you've got a three-quarter to one-and-a-half-second delay and they start talking over each other and then they stop and they talk and they stop. He doesn't so I don't want him to just talk over people, but I'm like, wait a minute. There is validity to what this man is saying. And then Greenberg goes around and all I'm like, oh, my God, no. Can't do it. Never happened. Like,
right. It's like he's the dupe.
Yeah. I'm like.
Well, I will say that when I was listening to the draft last night, he did have opinions, and most of the time I said, well, that's wrong. That one's wrong.
Like what? Give me an example.
I can't think of one off the top of my head, but I'd be like, he'd say something, and then Jordan Reed would make a very articulate statement on the other side of it, and I'd go, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly, Mike. But he, yes, he has become more opinionated. I will give him that.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was very enjoyable and informative and a great mix. So
well,
I enjoyed it. And I have no reason to say it except that it's true. I was texting Curtis throughout, so he knows that, that I'm not making it up.
What is your reaction to Xavier Worthy?
I've got a couple
of... I was going to start Royals and then... Yeah. Here we go.
Well, I just wanted to give you your kudos before I forgot. You know, if we just...
Well, thank you.
We just did the second segment, and then I came back, I would have been, you know, might have just been thinking about hiding the women and children by that point.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So, anyway, my reaction is nuanced. I think the guy's a good player, and I think he'll probably be used effectively, and he's got great speed, but he's small, and I don't think they needed to trade up to get him. So... And I'm not sure it was necessary, maybe it was necessary, they thought, to get the player, or they thought that it was at risk. But I think they could have gotten a very capable wide receiver that they would have used effectively without trading up. And I think that there is a whiff of the fact that Brett Veach can't help himself. He just wants to make a splash.
If you didn't get him, who would you have taken?
Well, I probably would have taken McConkie, but it doesn't seem to be what they were looking at. And kudos again to somebody who obviously I pay attention to a lot, is Sam McDowell's column today pointed out the fact that there were 23 quarterbacks. I think it was 47 attempts, 47 attempts of air yards 20 or more times last year in the National Football League, and the worst passer rating with a bullet was Patrick Mahomes. Now, I think we can probably say it's not much his fault.
Right.
That's the case. So it's almost like he read Sam's column before it came out and said, "We got to do something about this. Damn it. God blame it, damn blame it." You know, like Blazing Saddles. And so what can we do? Well, there's the fastest guy ever. Pick him. How do we get him? Let's make sure we damn well get him. And I think we can probably get him where we are, but it's going to look great for me if this guy turns into a star and I can say, we targeted Xavier Worthy and traded up for him and, you know, strut his stuff. And I was going to say a couple other things
John
I can't
Wayne.
Say on the radio. So I think there's a little hint of that. I think it comes draft time and he just gets a little excited. And could I fall back? And, you know, there were probably four or five receivers who I think they could have used effectively at that, you know, in that little window that still are there. But trading back ain't any fun.
You can have anybody who's still there, right? Because theoretically, Carolina would have come in front of 32 to get Leggett.
Theoretically, yeah.
So let's take all the guys that are gone off the board. Let's assume somebody else took Xavier Worthy. Who do you take?
I probably would take McConkie. Okay. Because I like that. I don't think they've had that type of receiver, and I think that he's, you know, somebody who, yes, he has good speed, but I think he is also a chain mover, and I think they're going to start to need that a little bit more as Travis Kelce eventually, may not be this year, maybe it's not until he's 38, I don't know, will start to fade a little bit. I think we saw it fade a little bit last year. I mean, he came on strong again at the end of the year, but... So that's who I probably would take. Because it's just something they haven't really, the kind of player they haven't had. But I'm fine with this player. I think they'll find creative ways to use him. I can't. But, you know, let's face it. In the Patrick Mahomes era, there haven't been, except for Tyreek Hill, there's not been star receiver play. Their star receiver has been Travis Kelce. Now, maybe Rashee Rice is going to be that player. But, obviously, there's flies in the ointment right now for that. And... So, I think this guy's, they'll use him effectively. I know that. Does that mean he's going to be something? I don't know that because I haven't seen that track record. At that weight, he could be thrown around like a rag doll. He could get hurt a lot. But we've seen a very skinny receiver play great the last year in Philadelphia. So I like the pick, but it's maybe more because it's the Chiefs than it's him.
Right. Well, I'm with that as well. Right. That's kind of where I'm at. It wasn't my dream. The one thing I could say is we were, as we vetted, as you know, but for those who didn't listen, like we're like, I don't see the trade up anymore. Right. And so that's where we were like, because. My feeling was you could get him there at 32, and if you couldn't, I'm with you. There were other receivers I would have taken and been happy to get. Adonai Mitchell being one.
Right. I mean, there's three or four there that I think would have been just fine, and they're bigger. So they've got that. I mean, he's tiny. That's tiny.
I'll also say, like,
for football, I mean, he's a tiny man.
I think Brett Veach is certainly a big part of the equation of the trade ups. He said as much, you know, trade up. I can't help myself. It was when I asked him as a Final Four, trade up or trade down. And he jokingly said, trade up. I can't help myself.
I think he's right.
But I also think Andy Reid can't wait either. Because if Andy Reid's like, no, like, I'll make any of these guys work, then he's not doing it.
It's just his nature, but Andy Reid sounded underwhelmed to me. Maybe he was just tired, you know, and wanted to get out of there. I don't know. But, you know, both of them were leaning heavily on the return aspect of his game, which to me in the current NFL is just balderdash.
Well, that is the scariest part. It's like, are we really taking a Dave Tobe toy here?
Right.
But the production at wide receiver says no. It's not just that.
Oh, no. But they said it a lot, both of them, repeatedly. It was almost like they were defensive about the pick. That was the sense I got when I was listening to them, that they're like, you traded up for, that they thought everybody was sitting out there thinking, you traded up for that? Now,
they didn't trade out,
you know, it wasn't like they gave up a number one pick or something, but, you know, they moved to nine for him, but. They lost draft capital. They only have one pick today, right now.
Well, there's a lot on Andy Reid on this pick because this kid is not going to go post up.
Right.
He's not going to win a jump ball. His arms aren't long. I mean, it's all about the speed. Mm-hmm. Right now, everybody does say, listen, he can run routes and he can catch the ball. Well, that's an improvement over Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, and Mecole Hardman.
Right, and also the other part is, to me, jet sweep, fly sweep.
But it's incumbent upon Andy Reid to, like, his speed will get in there, but you've got to get him going. And by the way, your inexperienced wide receiver coach has got to teach him to beat jams.
Right.
Against guys that got 25 pounds on him.
And the other part is, if you're thinking about the, I think, your fans, Brett Veach maybe, I don't know. When you're observing it, you're thinking about, oh, he's going to run the jet sweep stuff, and that would be great. Those are the plays that I think you get blown up the most as a wide receiver, not catching the ball usually. You can't Jack Tatum people anymore, so you don't get hit like that going over the middle and stuff like that. So when you get hit like that, is when you're running the football. So to me, that mitigates against it too. So I'm fine with the pick, but I'm not enthusiastic, and I'm not enthusiastic about the fact that they traded up. But it's the Chiefs. They're good. They'll find a way to use him effectively. And he's super fast. So I'm not going to sit here and criticize the pick.
You sound like Dominique Foxworth. This morning is like, well, give it a letter grade. A B, I mean, it's the Chiefs. It'll work. It always does. Patrick Mahomes will make it work.
Right.
You know, he wasn't, like, enthusiastic, but he's like, no, it'll be fine. Like, you know, they have Andy Reid. They have Patrick Mahomes. It's going to work.
No, for instance, say, by, you know, some kind of a bizarro world where Brock Bowers was still there. That'd be an exciting pick to me. Wow, that guy, he catches everything. You know, maybe they'll find a way to use him a million ways. But so I'm fine with it.
How much of the judgment from fans on that pick is who they got and how much was the way in which they got it? My point is, had they, once it got to 28, was there a guy that people would go, oh, that's an A?
I think the Ladd McConkey crew would have been excited because it was their guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I always caution people. Like, I remember, to this day, I think one of the more overrated players in the history of Chiefs football is Eric Berry. And I think the fact that he went to all these Pro Bowls and they didn't do squat till the end of his career when he kind of quit playing speaks to how much of an impact he really made. But Eric Berry became a darling for fans leading into that draft.
Yeah. And we were out there at the facility, and that place went bonkers they called his name.
Because that's the guy they decided they wanted, good, bad, right, or wrong. They only had five guys to pick from, right, to get it right. And they loved it. And I to this day, I don't think it was the right pick.
Right.
But fine, and he was a fine player. As a safety, with defensive coordinators that, in my opinion, didn't do a whole lot with safeties, and played him in the box at like freaking, who's the guy everybody hated?
Daniel Sorensen.
I mean, Daniel Sorensen replaced him and won a championship.
The
same way that he played.
And the other thing, you know, he made some very memorable plays.
He did.
Play against Atlanta.
He's better than Dan Sorensen. I'm not saying they're the same guy.
Right.
I'm just saying they replaced him with Dan Sorensen and won a championship the next year. Okay, so.
And he got, let's face it, he got ill. And, you know, that's part of the whole narrative.
Yes.
He was cleared of cancer the same day I was, damn it.
But that was considered a great pick.
Right.
And my point simply is, it was fine.
Right.
It wasn't great. It was fine. But when you're picking 32, it's tough for people to get excited because there's 100 different options.
Right.
And so you're only going to make about 2% happy because you got their guy.
Right.
So, you know.
But if you trade up, it's more exciting. That's what I'm saying. It's more exciting. Oh, they targeted that guy. They like him. They were, you know, willing to take a big swing. So, whatever.
So, they take what now? They do what with the rest of the draft?
I did like your discussion with Adam about the tackles. That, you know, they've maneuvered around the tackle position, but, and your point about the fact that it seems like a position that there's much more certainty in scouting and evaluation of these guys, and that the guys who are good are often, very often, picked highly. So it's hard to get a good one. But I still think adding to that position there and maybe finding the one time that you've got a cheap, good tackle for a long time is worth it. I would say it's worth
it. Yeah. When you see that they've hit on one out of three wideouts late in the second, like Sky Moore, no.
Nope.
McCole Hardman, I mean, 1.5. I mean, that was a fine pick, so it was serviceable. They gave up a third. But second, third round, when Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore, Lucas Yang, like, there's a number of misses. Like, the whole, like, wringing of the hands, if you gave up a first, second, and third, I don't know if I can go there. Yeah, because you take what is the best-case scenario and go, well, look, it could be these guys. Yes, but it more likely would be these guys.
Well,
So to your point about and I'm agreeing with you, I'm just going to the next level. If you will come to the realization that we're not that great, I mean, no one is at, right. at picking tackles. Bakhtiari is a unicorn. So the idea that you're going to get a Pro Bowl left tackle in the fourth round, don't plan on it. And so if you really want to solve left tackle, then don't throw a third-round pick at it every 4 years. Throw a first, second, and third at it and go up and get the guy you're sure about.
Right. Or find a guy who's played football in the National Football League and you know is not going to be an embarrassment for you, that he's going to play at least good football and you know, pay the price for it.
And that was Donovan Smith on the low end.
Right.
But, like, Laremy Tunsil was allegedly available but didn't get away. Like, I think they would do it, but I believe that Andy Reid has taught the rest of the league. In Philadelphia, he had two fantastic tackles. He got to Kansas City, he took a tackle, good tackle, first, and then he got Mitchell Schwartz right away. And I think everybody else is like, well, wait a minute, what are we doing here? Would you like a pretty good tackle, which is probably what Cleveland thought Mitchell Schwartz was, just because they suck. They, you know, he had brown stink on him. And in reality, he's a brilliant right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And they let him get away. And Andy Reid grabbed it. They're like, oh.
And there's only a couple of guys who are head and shoulders above the rest at that position. You know, the difference, there's a lot depends on the teamwork of the offensive line, how they're going to play.
A lot depends on the quarterback.
The guard next to you, the quarterback who's playing with you, all kinds of stuff.
Let's take a break. I want to talk about the Royals. They win today 8-0. We'll talk some more NFL draft. Danny Klinkskill's here. It's little Danny Unleashed, brought to you by Easton Roofing. Commercial, residential, Easton Roofing's got you covered. Estimates are always free. No payment collected until you're 100% satisfied handling the entire metro area. That includes Lawrence and Topeka. Find them online at EastonRoofing.com.
The good sense. End of the hour answer. What is the highest pick the Chiefs have ever used for a wide receiver? They have used 5 picks higher than the one they used last night.
Slimo, Dwayne Bowe. It's Anthony Hancock, isn't it?
It is Anthony Hancock.
Who was a disaster.
Yes.
Yes.
But
yes.
Slimo, Dwayne Bowe, Jonathan Baldwin.
Mm-hmm.
Hancock, and there's one more?
Yep. I used his name in a trivia question earlier this week or something, and he was one of the answers we had in Chumps yesterday. More famous for something else. He was the first one that they drafted with a pick.
Elmo Wright.
Yeah. Hancock, 11. Wright, 16. Slimo, 21. Dwayne Bowe, 23. And Jonathan Baldwin, 26.
What a list.
Yes.
When Dwayne Bowe is number one with a bullet.
Mm-hmm.
Ouch.
Only Pro Bowler of the bunch.
You always like me when you talk about Eric Dickerson. Anthony Hancock looked good in a football uniform.
Oh, yeah, he did.
He looked sweet in a uniform.
He was similar to? Kadarius Toney. He couldn't blanking catch.
Hey, man, 73 for 1266, 17 yards per and 5 TDs. That's great for a season. It was his 5-year career. But, you know, if you can compress that into 16 games instead of 59.
You pretend it was a baseball, like, per 162,
even though
it wasn't.
Yeah.
I think
I love those numbers. That's a Pro Bowler.
Listen, he was not drafted into an era of Chiefs football where they seemed to get it.
And that was the last draft before Makovic, so that was the last Marv Levy draft.
And Marv was not one to want to sling it around the yard.
No. Not until later.
to his credit, he evolved.
Yeah, he did. Well, and he got the quarterback.
Yep. Yeah, didn't have the quarterback there and then either in 82.
And I think... And he inherited the quarterback. We had Bill Polian on our 2 Deep NFL podcast. Great conversation, by the way. I'd encourage anybody to go back if you subscribe to it or not. But Bill Polian was great and was talking about, like, when he got to the Bills, one of the reasons why I know he's a really good GM is he made a point to credit his predecessor with the players that he got to inherit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he did a lot of things right. But and with the Colts, like you talked about, who he inherited there, like he inherited Marvin Harrison.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like, well, we were fortunate that we had this and this. But, you know, having that quarterback's important. It'll make everybody else look better. There's no doubt about that. So what do they do next?
I still think that because they can't lose, really, because they, except for quarterback, they can use just about anything. But I still think maybe trying to get creative with a tackle would be okay to me, because they're going to have to address the position somehow. And this is a way to address it. I don't think it's necessarily the solution. And if they don't like somebody that's worth, you know, moving up in the second round for, then maybe just sit there, and if there's one they like, take it. But they can, another wide receiver would be fine. You know, I mean, we've seen the track record of what the, you know, it's not been great, and wide receivers are, it's not a reliable draft pick. I mean, if you wanted to make a career of a safe career of being a GM, you wouldn't pick a bunch of wide receivers.
And throwing numbers at it, it's not a bad idea.
No, absolutely, it is a good idea.
Listen, guys, that if they're there at some point down towards their pick or at their pick, but I like Roman Wilson of Michigan. I like Malachi Corley of Western Kentucky. Polk, Washington.
Who doesn't like a tackle named Roman Wilson? I mean, that is...
he's a wideout.
Oh, wideout. Oh, yeah. I don't... Who doesn't like a football player?
No, I agree.
Roman,
yeah.
I mean, that's cool. I mean, Roman Gabriel just died, so we need another Roman.
I would love to just talk to him and hear about... He flew to school every day. Because he lived on Maui, but I think went to school on Oahu.
Oh, geez. That is a short flight, but...
Yeah.
How
was that, man? What was that like? I mean, you know.
I jumped in my private plane from. No, I didn't.
I don't think that was the case. I mean, I think there's probably a small plane. I don't think he was like.
No, I probably.
Getting Aloha Airlines every day.
Probably a group of, you know, five or six players.
Well, and I bet it's because he could ball. Yeah, exactly. Right.
You think they paint that plane yellow like a school bus?
It was probably one of the big power schools of Hawaii. I'm not necessarily saying it was a Catholic school, but let's just for the sake of the example.
Let me look.
No, Matter Day of Honolulu.
Not intrigued.
So, anyway. Bishop Oahu
Football Factory.
Past him. Hold on.
97 straight wins.
I'll start talking about the Royals. Royals win again today by a count of 8-0. It was only 1-0 heading into the top of the ninth inning when the Royals exploded for 7 runs. I sense a failed mission for you to find out his high school. Do you have a Wikipedia page?
Honolulu, Hawaii, parentheses St. Louis.
Oh, St. Louis
School.
St. Louis High School.
School.
Yes, there you go. Got it.
Not St. Louis, Missouri.
Don't hate me. I was right.
Roman Wilson was born in Maui and grew up in Kahai. His parents grew up in Michigan and met at Western Michigan before moving to Hawaii. Wilson started playing football at the Pop Warner level, speed trainer in sixth grade. After he attended Lokalani Intermediate for middle school, the family made the decision that he would attend football powerhouse St. Louis High School in Honolulu, a program that has produced numerous college and NFL players, including Tua Tagovailoa, Marcus Mariota, Olin Krutz, Nate and Nick Herbig, and several others. His daily commute.
All well-known Catholic boys.
His daily commute to the island of Oahu initially required him to take a flight to and from school until he moved to Kapolei on Oahu to make things easier.
His
father later transferred to Honolulu to be with him.
Good for them.
They won the Hawaii High School State Championships 99, 02, 10, 16, 17, 18, and 19.
It talks about he did touch on helping St. Louis to an undefeated 11-0 record in the 18 state championship. Yeah. He again led the team in receiving as a senior as St. Louis went 12-0 and captured its fourth straight title.
Yeah, so 18, he was... He probably didn't lose a game.
We're
joking that they won 97 straight. He probably won 50 straight.
Good for the young man.
Wilson also is a standout track athlete. Won the 19 state gold medal in the 100, 10.68. Personal best 22.54 in the 200. 5 feet in the high jump, 21.125 in the long jump.
I gotta give
and
him
anchored the 4x100.
I got to give him a little scolding on that 5 foot high jump. That's a little weenie.
What are you?
I mean, it, I think you
fit. Five foot's weak?
If you can leap, I would think that, you know, 6 feet seems like a. I'm not expecting him to, you know, go world record or anything, you know.
Let's see what he.
Scale 8 feet, but.
Do we have a vert on him?
Wow, this one's probably right. Good.
I got to go to a different
Maybe
site.
Just bad technique, you know.
Maybe just do it the old way.
Yeah, he did it before, the old-fashioned way. He didn't Fosbury flop. He wasn't flopping.
Man.
Yeah, he went old school. He just jumped over the bar with his feet.
Yes.
didn't even roll.
Into a sand pit like they used to. Didn't even have the mat.
Didn't even roll his body. Just jumped up in the air over it like a hurdle. Such an athlete is he.
All I know is every time they were, like, J.J. McCarthy stuff was everywhere. And, like, 90% of the highlights are Roman Wilson.
Is he number one?
Yeah, he's number one.
Yeah, he's impressive. Yes.
Let me see here. So his – here, now I got his
– Royals fans are really getting mad at you.
It's 40, 4, 3, 9, 40, 86th percentile. Jesu J tried to tell us 4.39 is not fast. I'm like, no, it's fast.
Right. You used to say 4.4 was fast.
His 10-yard 1.52 was 80th percentile. Where's his vert? Span, weight, height.
Oh, that's it. We want Roman Wilson.
I guess he didn't jump.
Trade up, Brett. Bring Roman Wilson here. We love him.
He, too, was apparently disappointed in that vertical. Because he didn't vert.
Oh, I guess maybe that's it. So, anyway, that's funny. That was worth doing.
Yeah. Let's take a break. We'll get into the Royals next here in the program. You listen to the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Danny Unleashed, brought to you by Easton Roofing.
Betcha.
EastonRoofing.com. Joe Spiker and his staff are the best. If it comes to your home, sure, they got you covered there. Also, when it comes to your business, don't forget, you know, the best manufacturing companies, roofing manufacturing companies in the country, Carlisle, JM, Elevate, Geico, they only supply the very best. Why? Because they offer up to 30-year warranties on flat roofs. Easton Roofing can do that because they're one of the best roofing companies, but everything's got to be installed right. They don't mess around with the fly-by-night companies, the ones that are just going to kind of throw it up there. They want the best. That's why they work with Easton Roofing when it comes to your business. No matter how tall the building is, no matter how big, how wide, how many square feet it is, Easton Roofing has got you covered. Find them online at EastonRoofing.com. We've started four times to talk about the Royals. They win.
But Roman Wilson stepped in the way.
They win 8-0.
Yes.
Today, are you ready to say what about this team?
I'm ready to say they're a resilient and improved bunch that I think has probably got themselves enough wiggle room now that they're good enough that I don't think they're going to play bad baseball for an extended period of time, which means that I think they're going to give us an interesting summer of baseball because they're now, what, 8 games over 500? And now, there's things that they cannot continue to do. They were ahead 1-0 in the ninth and scored a bunch of runs, so they made it 8-0. If they'd won 1-0, which it looked like maybe they were going to do, they would have improved their record to 9-6 in games that are they've scored 3 runs or less. They're 8-6 now. They've scored 14 times. A lot more than half their games they've scored 3 runs or less. I tried to find the regular winning percentage for teams that are three runs or less. I haven't been able to find it. But it can't be more than 1-3, I don't think. You know, maybe 40%. For instance, the 2024 Houston Astros have scored 3 runs or less 13 times this season, and they are 1-12.
Well, the Royals have been pitching pretty good.
No, they've been pitching great, obviously.
The pedigree of the Royals pitching doesn't say that it
right
should necessarily be better than the Astros.
But the Astros have had dreadful injuries that nobody cares about the Astros. But anyway, and also they've been bombed in a lot of those games, so that doesn't really matter. But the point being, 8-6, 3 runs or less, that's tremendous. And there's no way they can keep that up. But I don't think they're going to score 3 runs or less in more than half their games. If they do, then they will play bad baseball for a long stretch.
Listen, the longer they go against good teams winning ball games, I mean, taking 3 out of 4 from Toronto, mm-hmm, after a tough series with the O's,
and shutting them down totally.
Yeah, they. The more I'll start to buy in that winning the first one against the Tiger team, it's above 500. Now, we pointed out that the Guardians and Tigers, like the Royals, have benefited from a softer schedule. So, you know, maybe the Tigers are going to be shown to be a fraud, and the Royals are going to validate that they're not a fraud.
Well, the Tigers haven't hit at all, so that what they've been doing is pretty amazing to have their record with without much offense at all. I was just looking at some Royal stats, and to your point,
they're 5-3. They set out on a night just real quick. They set out on a 19-game stretch against teams above 500, and we pointed out that other than like six games, they played all teams below 500.
Right,
and that this was going to largely determine, you know, we were going to know what the hell they are. Well, they're 5-3 so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think there's anything so far that could discourage you except the length of the lineup, which looks like it's playing out to be the extra guys stink so far. I mean, that's just it. I mean, to his credit, I was going to bring this up. I just brought up their hitting stats, and then I clicked on OPS. The six players who are qualified for the batting title for the Royals are the six players who have the best OPS on the team. So they basically are batting the best. The other guys are saying, no, not you today. Or, well, let's mix and match these bozos. And, you know, Perez, Witt, Pasquantino, Melendez, Velasquez, and Garcia, you're going to play every day. And they've generally produced. And the other guys have generally been bad. So, you know, that's six is enough, though. It's not like before when it'd be like three guys who were hitting pretty well. So I'm impressed.
If Michael Garcia is going to hit, yes.
Now that being said,
you can make a go of it. You're going to have to pitch, but you can make a go of it. But
that's six who are the top six for them. The Royals only have three players with an OPS over 700.
Right.
The
pitching is going to have to stay healthy. They're going to have to stay healthy across the board because there's no depth.
Right.
Like down in the system.
There's no depth on the 26-man roster is what we're pointing out, kind of, you know?
Yes, agreed. And there's nothing coming.
No.
Drew Waters will come up and be Drew Waters. Kind of like Kyle Isbell's being Kyle Isbell. Right. Yeah, I mean, this was kind of my last gasp of hope that Kyle Isbell was going to turn the corner and start looking like his minor league numbers. But it's starting to look like his minor league numbers were a product of being a little bit old at each level.
Right.
Well, you don't get to be old at the big league level. No. And so, you know, Drew Waters' numbers are good, right? They're good, but he's 26. They're supposed to be good at AAA.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he'll come up and carry those numbers forward. We'll see.
You'd think that Hunter Renfroe will start to hit better. Now maybe he just has had it. I don't know.
I think he'll hit better. I don't think he's going to be old Hunter Renfroe. I think he's going to be, actually, let me take it back. I think he's going to be old Hunter Renfroe, not the good Hunter Renfroe.
But is he going to trot out a 5-something OPS? I don't think so.
You know, I hope not.
That doesn't, because I think they're probably, well, he might if they give up on him. You know, if they just finally say that's, but I think he's got enough of a track record. They should keep playing him for another 2-3 weeks, I would think.
Two things I think are of note that have really been proven. One, I expected. One, I didn't. One, Matt Quatera knows what the hell he's doing. I expected that. You know, there was no judging him last year whatsoever. But he's certainly an intelligent guy. And I don't think he got hired because we think he knows what he's doing. I think he understands the data. He knows how to apply it. He knows how when it reaches its limit and when you got to manage people. I like Matt Quatera a lot as a manager right now, okay? And I kind of expected that was going to be the case. I think J.J. Piccolo's been around long enough. Like, he might need to be fired one day, but it'll be because he's run its course, not because he's not qualified to do the job. So that I expected. You know what I didn't expect? MJ Melendez playing left field like Alex Gordon.
Well, it's a good thing he is because he ain't hitting.
He was, and I think will.
Right. But he made a fabulous running catch in the gap the other day. I mean, he's a good athlete.
I found your number. Last 20 years, 3 runs or fewer for America League teams, .203 win percentage.
Whoa.
No America League, no team in the DH League in the last 20 years has won better than 38% of their games.
So
3 runs or fewer.
Pick it up. pick up the offense. I knew it had. I said I thought it was 333, and I was guessing high.
Yes.
So guessing very high. So, yes, that's not replicable. But you know what? Those wins are in the bank.
Yep.
Yeah, you don't have to give
them
back.
If they had won 20% of their games so far that they'd scored three runs or less, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
But it does mean that they're probably going to win about 10% of them through some through another 20 of them.
So don't do that until only 20 of those for the rest of the season.
The rest of the season.
Yeah.
Exactly. Good plan.
Good.
All right, what Power Conference team has the longest active drought without a first-round pick in the NFL draft? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.